Blog Do Talk it. Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh 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 oh. Oh yeah. Oh, no. African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Grown and a crew coming to you live. Oh, we got a hot one for you today. We got a brother, Kevin, coming back through with hidden wisdom from the Bible. Brother George with a Wooden Inch and Kwanzaa segment and much, much more. Come on with me, y'all. Oh, yeah. And there is no better love and no greater love. No greater love. No better love. Okay. Brothers and sisters, there is no better love, no greater love than for self and kind. It's African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of you know what for you know who. So welcome you to the show today. We've got a great show for you today. We're going back into the book, right, that we all know and love so well, but there's education. There's a, again, it's the pillars of the NAAEA. This show and many others like it is about education, right? So you gotta open your mind up to education and information as it stands, because knowledge is power, right? You might not like what you hear, kind of like Witch Hazel, but when it goes down, it goes down a little rough, but if you work with it, it'll help you, right? And so again, it's all about educating our people to help themselves, right? Knowledge is power. And so on today's show, we're going to talk about the hidden wisdom from the Bible featuring Brother Akebulan. We got the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. And again, much, much more. But let's get to the tenets of the NAAEA, right? It's a peace concept and a peace process. And our people, if you think about historically, we need a concept, right? We need a strategy. And so we have five strategies to help us persist and then subsist in a way in which we become effective at navigating these systems that we live in and a global economy. Here's first. We have to have a political agenda, right? Listen carefully. The political agenda speaks to how we can use the resources that is available to us wherever we live, right? Got to understand politics. You got to understand the American political system. You got to have global, national, and multinational political agendas. They said, okay, y'all go, y'all be free, and you had no agendas, right? And so you're just working inside of capitalism now, making other people rich. If we had a political agenda, because we do, the political agenda says we create institutions that define our own reality, and we do a great job of building those if we can educate our people to help them help themselves. Of course, you know, without many of our people, most of us, if not all of us, have been marginalized, right? We've been placed in a society that really makes us feel bad about who we are because of the white supremacy, to be honest with it, right? And the system of racism that we function in. But it's okay, right? We can say no to all that and just be good with who we are. How about that? If we get this branch out and say, all right, well, we're not worried about what they think about us. We're proud of who we are. And then we begin to stand in that and not be inferior, but work on our own individual superiority, not superior over others. We just feel really good about ourselves. Political agenda, we got to have those. And there's economics. Again, an economic agenda, because you cannot do anything, listen, without money. Can't do it, right? Can't buy food, no money, right? And you cannot depend on the system to make sure that you're taken care of. That's your job. Right? But you have to be productive. We have to learn how to be producers again in this economy, right? We're going to have to be able to produce for our children, produce institutions that define our own reality with schools and institutions and programs and activities to help educate, inspire, motivate, empower our people, particularly our young people. We're going to have to do that. Next, we have to have the A, which is athletics. That's health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, mental health, physical health, and emotional health. We're going to have those pieces in place that really help us function well in our bodies, right? You're going to have to take care of it. You're going to have a good diet, right? A good workout regimen, right? Go walking, right? Stay away from the processed and refined foods. Stay away from the sugary substances, right? Stay away from those sodas. I'm just telling you what to do. I can't tell you what to do. I'm suggesting, right? And that becomes a way of life for you, right? And then it's your mental health, your mental and emotional health, right? You got to take care of those things because those are the foundation as a holistic approach to who you are as a human being and how effective you can be, right? And then there's culture. See, relevant cultural programs like this one that really refines us, right? Help us to have that confidence that we need. And as I say on the show, chin up, chest out, and be proud of who you are. And the more that we know who we are, the more effective that we can be at being who we are. That's power. And we need power. And last, a comprehensive education that really looks at how we can become the best people that we can be today and every day. Those are the pillars and the tenets of the NAAEA. Join us. Become a member. NAAEA, www.naaea.weebly.com. Join us as we continue to help our people help themselves. And now for the Stan Mack in a moment. We'll be right back.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on Earth.
Brothers and sisters, Brother Stan is so right. One, we need institutions that define our own reality. It is really time for us to begin to become independent-minded, right? Where we don't depend on other people to create a reality for us. We can stand up and do that for ourselves now. We have the capability and the capacity to do that, but we're going to have to learn how to work together and develop a unified collective consciousness that helps us to do that. We don't have to try to get in to fit in. We do have to plug in, right? Nothing wrong with that, but we can plug in independently, and we can do that, and we can build for ourselves, and then we'll have control over what goes on in our communities, right, in our households, and in our family. And now it's time for my favorite segment. It's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my brother, Brother George. Brother George, bring it. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Rock it. Hey, man. Hey, White. Come on.
Bring it.
Come on.
What?
That's right, Brother George. Welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, brother. I'm at an event today. It's a real nice event, you know, over here at the Belmead Recreational Center. And, you know, it's a lot of young children here, you know, African-American and Latino children here that's having a great time. And, you know, I'm enjoying that. But I'm still going to do my sex.
All right. I like it. What you got, brother?
Well, today, up from the Nguza Saba, the Kwanzaa principle for the day is Kuumba, creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Kuumba, depicting a snake climbing a raffia palm. This symbol represents ingenuity, excellence, and performance of great feats. Observing the most ordinary. Musicians, philosophers, and scientists to make wonderful creations, inventions, and discoveries. We too can be inspired to new ways of thinking simply by paying attention to the natural world around us. Now, today, for the Willie Lynch segment, I want to read from a book that was written by a brother named Alvin Mora. And it's called Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch, The Science of Slave Psychology. Now, in the Willie Lynch paper letter, there was an interesting statement that was made that it stuck in my mind ever since I read it for the first time. Our experts warned us about the possibility of this phenomenon occurring. For they say the mind has a strong drive to correct and recorrect itself over a period of time. If it can touch substantial original historical base, and they advised us that the best way to deal with this phenomenon is to shave off the brute's mental history and create a multiplicity of phenomena of illusion, that each illusion will swirl on its own orbit, something similar to balls floating in a vacuum. Now, it's interesting that they made that statement within the Willie Lynch paper. And that's something that's food for thought, you know, for our listening audience. So, Brother Marvin, if you don't have any questions for me, it's back to you.
All right, brother. The food for thought for today. How do we get to a place where we understand the importance of the Willie Lynch papers and how it has its intention to impact us for generations?
Is that a question?
Yes, that's a question.
All right. I'm going to use this as a foundation to lead into the connection with that statement. Eurocentric historians argue that Europe gave civilization to Africa, which is a complete inversion of the truth. Reversal. The first civilizations, Europeans were the Greeks. The first civilized Europeans were the Greeks, who were chiefly civilized by the Africans of the Nile Valley. The Greeks transmitted this culture to the Romans, who finally lost it, bringing on a dark age for 500 years. I wanted to read something else that's here. All right. The decline and fall of the Moorish Empire was a great setback to modern civilization. Had this great African culture been able to survive, the world would have been 500 years more advanced than it is today. The story of the Moors in Spain is a chronicle of splendor and tragedy. And no one has told this story better than Stanley Lane Poole. All serious students of history should read this book. It is of special value to students of African history, who should be glad that this historical classic is now back in print. Now, my interpretation of that statement that was made in the Willie Lynch letter was, never let them read anything, because if we were the brutes that they say we were, that came out of the jungles and all of that, I mean, what kind of history could we be exposed to that would cause our mind to want to readjust back to something different? That's because that's not what we were. What we are and what we were back then and are still today is the remnants of the Great Moorish Empire. And so they did not want us to be exposed to any of the books that they had in their library that our ancestors wrote. And so they said, don't let them be, don't let them do anything that deals with, you know, readjusting their intelligence back to thinking the way that they once thought, because at that point we can no longer control them. And so that's my interpretation of why that statement is there, Brother Marvin, that we in fact are the Moors that built that great civilization in Spain and Portugal and up and down the west coast of Africa.
There you have it, brothers and sisters. A great explanation. Learn for yourself. Grow for yourself. And know for yourself. That's a Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. It's about education, African-American empowerment, African-American education, 365 days just for you. We're trying to improve our people, and the work has to be done on a daily basis. Thank you, Brother George, for that. All right, let's make some announcements before we get into our segment for today. It's the Hidden Wisdom from the Bible featuring Brother Akebele coming right up in just a few minutes. Let's do some housekeeping. Today, Slido, slido.com. Come on out there and support me. The code is 316-6640. Right? Slido.com. Just go put it out there, and there'll be a little box where you can put this number in. 316-6640. 316-6636 and a 40. That's all you need. 845-277-9250 is the call-in number. Right, if you want to get in on the conversation, but just share your thoughts. It's an open dialogue, right? It's family time, right? And here's the thing, right? You could be in disagreement, but if we do it properly, it's okay. If we say, hey, I don't know about that one. Maybe you don't know about it, right? And it's okay. And maybe you have a position, but we just want to share. But we're not combative. We're not fighting right here. We're not gonna hang up on you. We're not gonna argue. We're just gonna keep on doing what we do and do it effectively. All right, so that's it for today. 845-277-9250. And we're going over now to Brother Akebele, who's going to give our lecture and workshop for today. Let's bring the brother in, right? Come on, y'all. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Brother Akebele. Give it to me. Oh, yeah.
Bring it. What?
We right here. I see you rocking. Brother Akebele, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm glad to have you. Yes, sir. I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you very much for taking the show today. And I appreciate you. You got some gems today, right? Hidden wisdom from the Bible, right? What you got for us today, sir?
For those who've been following me for the last few weeks, I've been going over my book, Tired Divorce, Western Culture, Not Your Mate. And we've been attacking all manner of people's culture, not just economics. We've been attacking history, politics, economics, social order, creativity, psychology. So my job is to have a little knowledge in all those areas of people's culture that we have been attacked in. Lately, I've been dealing with religion. From religion, I probably move over to politics, where I talk about the other 13th Amendment and things we don't know about. Right now, I'm on religion. Before I get started, though, and as Marvin mentioned, the title of my presentation today will be The Hidden Wisdom in the Bible, The Hidden Wisdom of the Bible, The Hidden Wisdom of the Bible. Before I get started, yesterday was Omawale, otherwise Malcolm X's birthday. If he were alive today, he would be 98 years old. Got a little cold here. Next to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm's birthday was the only holy day I celebrated. People say, well, Malcolm's birthday is not a holiday. Well, that is if you decided who you're going to recognize. And I decided, along with Dr. Martin Luther King, I will always recognize Malcolm X's birthday. It was called a holy day. Yesterday was Malcolm X's holy day, because that's what it was called before we start calling it a holiday. If you don't know this, the reason you don't know is because Malcolm said we don't know these things because they projected Africa always in a negative light. Jungles, savages, cannibals, nothing civilized. And naturally, it was so negative to you and me, and you and I began to hate it. We didn't want anybody to tell us anything about Africa, and much less call us an African. And in hating Africa and in hating Africans, end up hating ourselves without even realizing it. Now, what I read just now is a quote from Malcolm X, but I quoted from my book. To tell you how much I loved Malcolm, there's two sections in my book where I quoted from Malcolm X. And that was one of Malcolm X quotes there. Also in my book, under African Spiritual Union, I talk about relationships. If your loved one is materialistic, they are not going to move far from that behavior because values are predictors of behavior. If a person is holier than thou, they are not going to move far from that behavior. If a person is African-centered, that person is not going to move far from that behavior. So I'm going to quote what's in my book titled Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate. And on page 97, it says, values are predictors of behavior. A person is not going to move far beyond their values. You have primary values and secondary values. Primary values are your principles, that which you refuse to compromise. Secondary values have worth, but they are discretionary. Why would a person divorce a mate because their mate became an atheist? Religion was of primary importance to that person. How can an atheist and a religious person live together happily ever after? Religion is of secondary importance to that person, to them too. Once you determine your mate's values, you should be able to predict their behavior. Once you determine your mate's values, you will know what to say and what not to say. It is values, what we have in common, that bring us together and provide us for security, not the idea that opposites attract. Primary values may become secondary values, and secondary values may become primary values. When they shift in a relationship, behavior is less predictable and people become more insecure. People in African conscious circles can talk to each other without arguing because they share the same values. When a person who enters the room shares a certain religious belief opposite of ours, and feel what we are talking about may offend them, we adjust the conversation to something they value. We do that all the time. You know that one thing that may hurt your husband or wife, you try to stray away from them. Malcolm X was a Muslim minister and a black nationalist. I repeat, Malcolm X was a Muslim minister and a black nationalist. To know where Malcolm stood in terms of African liberation, you need to know what he valued. He loved African people, but he also loved his religion, which was his primary value and which was his secondary value. I repeat, which was his primary value and which was his secondary value? Let's go to Malcolm's own words to find out. Malcolm said, and I quote, "No religion will ever make me forget the condition of our people in this country. No God, no religion, no nothing will make me forget it until it stops, until it's eliminated. I want to make that point clear." He says, "I want to make that point clear. Your primary values, whether material or intrinsic, determine the duration of a relationship." Malcolm was not putting his religion to the side, but he understood the inner God that was against him liberating his people was not a God he's going to follow. So he says that he's working for the liberation of African people, and his religion will help him to do that, yes, by all means. But otherwise, they're going to have to take a back seat. So what I've been doing for the last few weeks is pretty much what Malcolm X has been doing. I'm not trying to take your religion away from him, from you. If, to the contrary, I'm trying to give it back to you. I'm trying to get you to see the Bible more clearly. I'm trying to get you to see religion more clearly. I'm trying to get you to understand that we're in a whole world of interrelationship and interdependency. And so if your religion doesn't teach you that brother next door or that sister next door is a part of the human family, then you need to do like Ralph Malcolm said. You need to change your values. It's all right if you got a primary value and religion, your primary value is working for the totality or working for the best of humanity. But so often with these teachings, we have become ostracized. So I'm going to go into my presentation today, hopefully after making the Bible, bring the Bible back to you, or any religious teachings back to you, and understand, get you to understand how it's written, that we'll work towards the betterment of humanity.
Brother Kevlin, can I jump in for just a second?
Go ahead, brother.
All right. The Slido number for today is 327-4519. 327-4519. My apologies for that. 327-4519, slido.com. Come on out there and join me there. All right. Back to you, Brother Kevlin. Thank you.
All right. I come to you as a student. I'm not a teacher. I come to you as a student. I attend the Universal School of Life, and there's always something for me to learn. And hopefully we can learn from each other. The last time Bruce Bridges spoke, a sister called in and gave some powerful comments. I hope she's back today. She gave Bruce his due, and rightfully so. She mentioned the movie Higher Learning, which I had never seen. After the program, I went to Libra's Books and ordered the movie on DVD. She also commented on Bruce mentioning critical thinking, which lets the speaker know she was listening. His efforts were not in vain. Last week, a sister called in and played a beautiful song she had written. I'm looking forward to the same kind of engagement. I don't want this to be a kind of congregation where a person is in the pulpit looking down on you and you have nothing to say. I want this to be like the congregation we had at the No Bookstore, where we sat around in a circle and exchanged ideas, except for when we had speakers. Even then, I remember Reverend Ishaka Musa Barrow Shingle saying, "I'm not going to do all the talking. We're going to have equal exchange. I don't have a monopoly on intelligence. I want to hear what you have to say as well." Last time I was here, I told you if you want a copy of the 1611 King James Bible, you can purchase it online or go to archivebooks.com. I hate to put out the wrong information. I gave you the wrong website. The website, the correct website is archive.org. 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 Type in KGV, no, KJV, King James Bible 1611. Type in KJV, King James Bible 1611. You'll see it says Prince James. James spelled I-A-M-E-S. You'll see it says Jesus spelled I-E-S-V-S. You'll see the book of Job spelled I-O-B. You'll see a Joseph spelled I-O-S-E-P-H. Remember, for those who've been listening to me, I always substantiate. So anything I said, you can go back and check behind me. So go to that site, archive.org, type in KJV, King James Bible, 1611. So although you may have the King James Bible at home, yours is not at all like the 1611 King James Bible. You have a translation of a translation. A friend of mine told me to mention the gospel of Stevie Wonder. I told him I was going to talk to you about religion. He said, remember, don't forget to tell him about the gospel of Stevie Wonder. So I will say it now before I forget it. Stevie Wonder said, when you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. He said, when you believe in things that you don't understand, you suffer. I'm here to help you understand a few things. I'm not here to take away your Bible or your religion. I'm here to help you understand it. Before my elder Kali became an ancestor, he turned me on to Mark Twain. I first read Mark Twain's King Leopold Soliloquy. It's about the atrocities King Leopold committed against African people in the Congo. I read other Mark Twain's work, like Letters from the Earth, which was very funny. I'm now reading his work titled Mark Twain on the Damn Human Race. Mark Twain on the Damn Human Race. Copyrighted 1962. By Janet Smith, J-A-N-E-T Smith. Now that I have given Mark Twain his due, I will paraphrase. Otherwise, put an African spin on it, like I do all European work, like Africans have done with E.A. Wisebush's The Egyptian Book of the Dead. In Mark Twain's On the Damn Human Race, in a section titled Bible Teaching and Religious Practices, Tom Sawyer asked Huckleberry Finn if he knows what a crusade is. Huck said, I don't believe I do. A crusade is a war to recover the Holy Land from them heathens, said Tom. How did them heathens get the land in the first place? They always had it. Then it must be theirs. Well, of course, who said it wasn't? Hulk shakes his head. I'm confused. If I had land that was mine, another person came to take it, stop right there. I see you're a little slow. Let me explain to you another way, Hulk. Bruce owns a farm. He owns it clean and clear. He aerates the land. He puts down lime, fertilizer, and grass seeds. When the grass grows, he cuts the grass. However, Bruce doesn't have the right to defile the land, but have a party in his backyard. Therefore, George, by divine right, can march over there and take the land, said Tom. Huck responded, I don't understand this concept of farming.
Damn you, Hawk!
We're not talking about farming. We're talking about religion. How a man can come into Africa with his Bible and say God told him he can take the land. When mercenaries came to Africa, we had the land, and they had the Bible. When they left, we had the Bible, and they had the land. Not only did they take the land, but it took our minds as well. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not trying to take the Bible from you. I'm trying to get you to understand it so it won't be a mystery. Now I'm going to tell y'all how I got started. When I was in high school, my history teacher gave us an assignment. If we got the answer, we were given 10 extra points, and I could use extra points. I researched the project the entire weekend until I was sure I had the answer. Come Monday morning, my teacher asked if anyone had the answer to the assignment given. I waited to see who would raise their hands because I didn't want to seem like a nerd. When no one raised their hand, I slowly raised mine. She recognized me and asked me to come up front. She looked at took my paper over, and you should have seen a smile on her face. She said, "Good job, good job. You get 10 points. Take your seat." I responded, "But is the answer right?" She answered, "I don't know. I was hoping you'd find it." That's why you've heard me say numerous times, education has very little to do with what I give you. It has to do with what you give me. No teachers want a student to be a carbon copy of themselves. You must go beyond that which your teacher gave you. So hopefully in my presentation, I've gone beyond that which my teachers have given me. Anytime I come before you, anytime I make a presentation, I've spoken numerous places, I've always started off with a theory. All my research starts off with a theory. Theories are based on facts. I told a young writer that. He told an elder what I said. The elder, unknown to me, shot me an email identifying himself as an elder, not knowing I too am an elder. He goes on to say, "I understand you've been giving young writers some erroneous information." I'm waiting to see what erroneous information I gave him. He continued, "You told him a theory was a fact. A theory is not a fact." And then he went on to give me Webster's definition of a theory. He said, "A theory is a set of facts used to support a hypothesis." I responded, "You just made my argument." Because I didn't tell Young Wright a theory was a fact. I said, theories are based on facts. You need facts to support your theory. The more facts you have, it ceases to be a theory, and possibly can be a conspiracy. Dr. Francis Quest Wilson had to have certain factual laws in genetics to come up with her first work, The Quest Theory of Color Confrontation and Racism. Albert Einstein had to have certain factual laws in physics to come up with the theory of relativity. When I was a child, I tell a story all the time. When I was a child, my parents told me Santa Claus was coming down the chimney to bring me some toys. I said, "Mom, I don't think he's coming." She responded, "Why do you say this?" I answered, "Fact one, we have no chimney. Fact two, reindeers don't fly. Fact three, if a reindeer could fly, 8 reindeers, put a sleigh through the snow to include the mass of the sleigh. Santa not sticking to his diet and all the presents, 8 reindeer would not have enough horsepower to get the sleigh off the ground. I showed my dad my calculations. He said, very impressive. But it's 9 reindeer, not 8. You forgot about Rudolph. I responded, but Dad, even with Rudolph, there's not enough horsepower to get that sleigh off the ground. My dad responded, go to bed, son, or you won't get any toy. I won some toys, so I went to bed. I was on the right track then. All I had to do was stay awake. I would have proven my theory that Santa was not coming. But I sold my soul for a G.I. Joe toy. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I believed in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, the whole bit. However, I'm a man now. You're not going to tell me the reason we die is because the snake tricked Eve. When it comes to the Bible, my people got a Cecil B. DeMille syndrome. What Hollywood puts on screen, we take literally. Why is the Bible written in secrecy? Information in the wrong hands can be dangerous. Information in the wrong hands can be dangerous. Information is more powerful than land, more powerful than resources, more powerful than labor. Information in the wrong hands can be dangerous. Therefore, information was concealed from those who would do harm. When scientists developed the atomic bomb, the information was retained by the inner circle and concealed from the enemy. Doctors write prescriptions in Latin so you won't start making your own batch of medicine. In Matthew, in your Bible, chapter 13, verse 10 to 7, Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 17, verse 10 through 17, Jesus gave the secrets to the kingdom of heaven only to his apostles, his closest disciples. He gave the secrets to the kingdom of heaven only to his apostles, his closest disciples. To the masses, he gave parables. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus says, cast not ye pearls before swine. Don't put this information in the wrong hands. A friend of mine told me Elijah Muhammad gave his people in the inner circle the high knowledge, or others got parables. I don't know if that's true or not, but he said Elijah Muhammad did like Jesus did, gave those in his inner circle the high knowledge, and all the others got parables. I didn't care for Khalid Muhammad at first. I knew he had to have knowledge. But when he spoke to us, he spoke in metaphors. I kept saying, brother, I know esoteric wisdom. I know the hidden wisdom of the Bible. Give us the goods. Come with the goods. So I didn't care for Khalid Muhammad at first. So when I heard he was going to be on Phil Donahue, I started shaking my head. I said, I don't want to see it. I'm thanking the brother. I'm saying, don't go on Phil Donahue's show. Speak literally that which is metaphorical. Phil Donahue played the King Khalid speech. But Khalid Muhammad said, lift up the Pope's skirt to see what's under there. And Donahue questioned him on the comment. And Khalid answered, and I quote, the Bible speaks of lifting up the skirt of the garment. Oh, Phil, I'm surprised of you. It's a metaphor. It's symbolic language. And he goes on to say, I'm not dealing with organs under the garment, but those private parts, the history of slavery, those parts kept hidden for the masses of the people. My own objection was that I had hoped Carly would have given that high knowledge to us before giving it to Phil Donahue. But let you know that even he knew what I'm bringing to you this evening. The Bible has different layers, about seven layers. I'm just giving you a little bit of it. I don't know it all. It goes even deeper than the part that I'm giving to you. But I'm giving you a little bit more than, a whole lot more than what's given to you on Sunday morning in the name of the Lord. It's not enough to have the spiritual keys. As an added feature, you must have a certain moral fiber. You must have internalized the laws of Mayat, which is balance, harmony, truth, law, morality, and justice, in order to use the keys to open the door. And otherwise, you got the key in your hand. But you have to have a certain morality, a certain moral fiber, in order for the key to open the door, even though you got the keys in your hand. I gave the spiritual keys to the sacred text to youth I was working with at Beaumont Juvenile Correction Center. These were youth. These were guys not 18 years old yet. They were so happy with the new knowledge they received. They went over to the Christian Bible study group, boasting about their newfound knowledge. They started putting down Christians who didn't have the knowledge. I put the keys in the wrong hands. I didn't give them the keys, but they don't have power over others and belittling them. I gave them the keys so they have mastery over themselves. Fall into the wrong hands, we may have another January 6th. However, if in the right hands, we can work towards restoring humanity to its rightful greatness. Now, before I go into breaking down certain aspects of the Bible, because in the last 2 weeks I have been laying down a foundation, I haven't really been decoding the Bible. So first of all, what gives me the authority to decode the Bible? Many authors of Western mystery teachings trace the origins of these teachings to Madame Velasquez. Madame Helena Velasquez, spelled B like in boy, L like in Larry, A like an apple, V like in Victor, A like an apple, T like in Tom, S like in Sam, K like in kite, and white like in yellow, Madame Velasquez. Madame Velasquez's first work was titled Isis Unveiled, published in 1877. Isis was a goddess in Egyptian mythology. Therefore, Madame Velasquez knew Egyptian wisdom. Some trace the mystery teachers to the Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism. Others trace it to Moses. Chapter 7, verse 22 in your Bible reads as follows. Moses learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. So Madame Velasquez and Moses and those who came over to Kabbalah, right, got all the wisdom of the Egyptians. So whether Moses was an actual person or not, being that the Bible, it's a collection of non-fictional stories, fictionalized, whether Moses lived or not. The person who embodied that spirit, like Akhenaten, no doubt was familiar with Egypt and her wisdom. When you get the opportunity, and I hope you got a paper pencil, because when I'm speaking, I require that you have a paper and pencil, so you can look these things up, because you always have to check. I want you to check behind me. I substantiate. Here's another little bit of substantiation. Go online to jewishvirtuallibrary.org. jewishvirtuallibrary.org. Virtual VIRTUAL and Library, LIBRARY, JewishVirtualLibrary.org. When you go there, click on archaeological sites in Israel. Click on archaeological sites in Israel. I quote what you're going to see. It states, Jewish history begins with the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob some 4,000 years ago. Whether Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived or not, somebody in Jewish culture embodied that spirit. Remember me saying there's no such thing as an individual. 4,000 years ago, they said, they traced it 4,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago is 2,000 before the Common Era. 4,000 years ago is 2,000 before the Common Era, because right now it's 2023. I'm thinking Jewish history started 1,200 before the Common Era. However, I'm going to use their words. Let's go with their words. 2,000 before the Common Era. Egypt's written records are at least another 2,000 years on top of that, which would mean 4,000 before the Common Era. And another 6,000 years of prehistory, total at least 10,000 years. Cush, otherwise Ethiopia, is Egypt's mother. You know the mother is older than the daughter. So Egypt, Cush, otherwise Egypt, Ethiopia is Egypt's mother. Therefore, Ethiopia is even older than Egypt. The Kabbalah mystery system is not older than the Egyptian mystery system. It's Jewish history, in their own words, 4,000 years ago. When you get a chance, and I don't want you to say things and you not check behind me. When you get the chance, get a copy of the World Book of Encyclopedia. Get a copy of the World Book of Encyclopedia. Before you look up something, at the beginning of the book, it tells you how old that letter is. At the beginning of the book, it tells you how old that letter is. They all started in Egypt. Egypt isn't Africa. I am African. That gives me authority to decode the Bible. I'm African. All the resources come from Africa. Man Velasquez studied Egyptian wisdom. Egypt isn't Africa. Moses said he learned all the wisdom of Egyptian. Egypt isn't Africa. That gives me authority to decode the Bible. Why do I say the Bible is a collection of non-fictional stories fictionalized? Why do I say the Bible is a collection of non-fictional stories fictionalized? The Bible has passed the test of time because the authors of the Bible incorporated actual people, land, and events mixed with fiction. I repeat, the authors of the Bible incorporated actual people, land, and events mixed with fiction. Queen Candace was Queen Kadaki, Queen Mother of Ethiopia. Egypt in your Bible is an actual place. It was called Kemet. Ethiopia in your Bible is an actual place. It was called Cush. The Red Sea does turn red when the inundation, otherwise the flow of water, is mixed with the algae and turns the sea red. The Bible is a non-fictional story, fictionalized. They took actual people, events, land, and wrapped it up in fiction. The problem with us is that we don't know how to extrapolate or withdraw from the Bible that which is true and that which was intended to be metaphor, parables, allegory. We know the story of Isis and Osiris. It's Egyptian mythology. It's a non-fictional story, fictionalized. We don't go around saying the story about a man's body being cut into 14 pieces and his wife restoring him back to life is true. We don't say that. What we do say is that when a black man is broken in spirit, a black woman can restore him back to life, otherwise give him back vitality. Is that type of wisdom that I'm trying to bring to you today is how the Bible is written. His problems we have, if you read the Bible literally, because most people read the Bible literally. Here's the problem with reading the Bible literally. There's a rumor going around that Jeffrey is a pedophile. How did this rumor get started? Sister Clara got it from the horse's mouth. She overheard Jeffrey telling his best friend that after they left the movies, he went home and had sex with his baby. I repeat, there's a rumor going around that Jeffrey is a pedophile. How did this rumor get started? Sister Clara said she got it from the horse's mouth. She overheard Jeffrey telling his best friend that after they left the movies, he went home and had sex with his baby. The word baby. Number one, definition number one, it's an infant or a young child, especially one that cannot walk or talk. Second definition, a baby is an adult or an older child who is crying or behaving like a baby. Definition number three, it's an affectionate term used toward an adult you love, such as a wife, husband, or partner. Let's go back and read that rumor again. Reading the rumor literally makes no sense. Jeffrey said after they left the movies, stop right there. Why would he be taking the baby to the movies? A baby wouldn't understand the movie. And you can't tell a baby not to cry. So we can scratch definition number one that they're talking about an infant here. You can scratch number two. A baby is an adult who acts like a child, who is crying or behaving like a baby. We can scratch that definition. So you go to the third definition, a baby, an affectionate term used towards an adult you love, such as a wife, child, or a partner. Jeffrey is not a pedophile. He has sex with an adult, probably his wife or his girlfriend. That's how the Bible is written. Words have more than one meaning. And literally, where it don't make any sense, most likely, it's allegory. Jonah in the belly of the fish. That's in your Old Testament. Jonah, I hope I got the right passage. Old Testament. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. The authorized King James Version. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I repeat, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. First, the fish has to be large enough. And second, how is a man going to breathe underwater for 3 days? You cannot read the Bible in a vacuum. When you come across a dead end or you come across a big road, you got to figure it must be allegory because it don't make sense. To resolve this contradiction, we go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, authorized King James Version. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So that was make up for the fact that it had to be a fish large enough for Jonah to get into. But we got another problem here. In Matthew, the New Testament, it says the fish that it talked about in the Old Testament was a whale. Number one, Jews do not regard the New Testament as part of their canon. They don't regard it as part of their canon. So the writers of the New Testament had no authority to change the word from fish to whale. But let's go what they did. They said the fish they talked about in the Old Testament was a whale. Here's the problem we have. A whale is not a fish. A whale is not a fish. Whales, dolphins, purples, porpoises are mammals just like us. A whale is not a fish. Now, you can look it up in the encyclopedia. You can look it up in National Geographic. You can look it up online. And you don't have to take my word for it. But if you, let's say before you look it up, you got to ask yourself, why is that blue whale continuously coming out the water? Why don't he stay under? Why don't the whale stay under the water? He's trying to get some oxygen. They're trying to get some air through that blowhole on top of their head. Whales and dolphins must come up to the surface to breathe. So once you find all these contradictions in the Bible, you got to realize it's allegory. On the other hand, a shark is a fish. It extracts oxygen directly from the water using his gills. A shark never needs to come up to the surface to breathe. Shark is still in the water all day long. A whale might be still in the water longer than you, a lot longer than you can, but they got to come up sooner or later. They can't stay under there. So now you understand this, you realize we're talking about allegory here. This is not to be taken literally. Let me break it down for you. Jonah is withdrawn from his body. A lot of times in the Bible, we talk about ships like the ark or the ship in this case, but Jonah's in the ship. We're talking about the person's body. Jonah is withdrawn from his body, symbolic of a ship. He enters the water, baptism, if you will. He enters the water. He's going fishing, not whaling, fishing. What does fish mean? We think fish is only one thing. That fish you eat on your plate in the evening sometimes. But fish also means to search for, like he's fishing for his wallet. He's fishing for his ID. So what was Jonah searching for? What was Jonah fishing for? He was fishing for a spiritual awakening. Malcolm was fishing for a spiritual awakening. Malcolm was dead. Then he rose from the dead. How long does this take? Jonah will remain submerged for 3 days and 3 nights until he reaches spiritual awakening. And then he is returned to his body, the ship. That's how the Bible is written. If you read it like that, that's going to be the same message for that passage, whether you're Muslim, Christian, or Jews, that's going to be the same message. But if you want to read it literally, we could argue over whether Jonah was in a literal fish, you know what I mean, and then that fish was a whale, and you argue back and forth with it, don't make it sense at all, because I already proved to you a whale is not a fish. It's a mammal, just like us, and needs to come out of the water and breathe, just like us. Coming to some closure now. The virgin birth story. Jesus, the way it's taught to us, could not come through the natural process of sex because sex was taught as being the original sin. Now, how could sex be the original sin when God said, be fruitful and multiply in the early part of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 9, which means that would have been a sin before the Garden of Eden, because the Garden of Eden where Eve eats the forbidden fruit is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 28. So when they say sex is the original sin, they're not saying sex in itself is sinful. They're saying that the fact that in order for you to be come through this world, you have to come through a woman. That a woman has been stained because she ate the forbidden fruit. The writers were wise not to show what kind of fruit. They're wise that it shows us because they're not talking about produce. Not going to the cookie jar is the forbidden fruit. To have a white woman on your arms in Mississippi in the 1950s is the forbidden fruit. It was Hollywood and Max Media to introduce the apple and the Bible. The sin was Eve partaking of the forbidden fruit, whatever it is. Because she did so, she becomes the embodiment of evil. Therefore, Jesus could not have come through a woman because women are impure. If women don't see that scripture taught this way as degrading to women, help them. Because that's what it is. It says Jesus could not have come through the natural process of sex because women are impure because Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Now, the other problem, as I mentioned last time I was here, is that Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 17 has Jesus' lineage. And Luke chapter 3, verse 23 to 38 has Jesus' lineage. The problem is, Matthew, Jesus' lineage is through his father. Luke, Jesus' lineage is through his mother. You cannot do Joseph's lineage if they didn't have sex. So if you want to take the story literally, you would come to a whole lot of problems. If they didn't have sex, you cannot trace it through Joseph's lineage. You can only trace through Joseph's lineage if they had sex. Let's make some sense out of this story. Mary was a virgin. Another definition for virgin is not being altered by human activity. Not being altered by human activity. That's another definition for virgin. We only know one definition. But another definition is not being altered by human activity. In other words, she did not get caught up in gossip. She did not get caught up in gossiping. She did not get caught up into societal ways. She did not go against the laws of the Ten Commandments, so to speak. So when she had a child, through sex, the birth is an immaculate conception because she was not tainted. She did not do the things that the world was doing. She was pure. So when she had a child, that child would be pure also. That's the way those who got the high knowledge, those who put together those in the inner circle, that's the information they have. As I mentioned earlier, everybody's got parables. If you go to the Bible, Jesus gave the world parables. The world got parables. And his disciples asked him, what did this mean? He broke it down to them. Same thing I'm here. I'm giving you the information that the writers of the Bible got. Now, everybody else got parables. That's why they're arguing. Now, to show you how the Bible is written, when you get the opportunity, go to YouTube because they got a cartoon that came out in 1941 called, name of the cartoon, it's called All This and Rabbit Stew. The producer is Leon Schlesinger, spelled S-C-H-L-E-S-I-N-G-E-R. Leon Schlesinger, he's the producer. The distributors were Warner Brothers. The Warner Brothers are Harry, Albert, Sam, and Jack. Warner Brothers are Harry, Albert, Sam, and Jack. Why would members of a press group, because of Warner Brothers, Leon Schlesinger, were members of an oppressed group. Why would members of an oppressed group oppress other people who are also oppressed? I can't speculate why. Maybe they did take the heat off them, but why would they do that? And I use my words carefully, right? I'm not indictment of the whole group. But we do know that Warner Brothers and Leon Schlesinger had a ball making fun of black people in the late in the early 40s, late 30s, early 40s. To get a chance, go to YouTube, type in All This and Rabbit Stew. I'm going to give you the codes. I want you to watch the cartoon without the codes and see how many things you can come up with. But I'm going to break it down right now for you. I'm going to give you the codes. So if you got paper and pencil, put it down. If you don't have a paper and pencil, then when you get a copy of this message, I want you to go back and add the codes to the cartoon. All right, the characters are Black Sambo. How we know Black Sambo and Bugs Bunny? There's no ammo for it. It's Bugs Bunny and Black Sambo. How we know the guy's name is Black Sambo? We know this because in another cartoon titled Angel Puss, A-N-G-E-L-P-U-S-S, the cat said, go ahead, Sambo. So we know his name is Sambo. So I started quoting the Bible, right? And I looked at it at first. You could easily see that the Bible is degrading African people. And that's apparent. It's degrading African people. But it was not until I saw who the producer was, Leon Schlesinger, and who the distributor was, Warner Brothers, that I wanted to know what degree are they defaming African people. They're clearly defaming African people. What degree? And since I know they came from a group that knows African wisdom, I started looking at the Bible, looking at their cartoon, and started decoding it. All right. First thing I did was I scrambled the word Sambo. If you scramble the word Sambo, you're going to get Moab. Those Bible students that are on this line would know that the Moabs were the Israelites' enemy in the Bible. So you take the word Sambo, S-A-M-B-O, and you scramble it, you'll get Moabs, M-O-A-B-S. There's the Israelites' enemy in the Bible. I'm going to give you the keys. You don't have the cartoon in front of you. I'm going to give you the keys now. I want you to watch the cartoon before I use the keys. Then watch it again and use the keys. In the cartoon, you can see a sucker. What is a sucker? A sucker is a lollipop. Sucker is also one who sucked on her breast. They called all black babies during chattel slavery black suckers. A sucker is also a person who's easily cheated or deceived. He's a sucker. So in this cartoon, you can see sucker. Rabbit. Bugs Bunny is a rabbit. A rabbit is a long-eared, short-tailed mammal with long hind legs. I repeat, a rabbit is a long-eared, short-tailed mammal with long hind legs. But rabbits also punch, like a rabbit punch. That's the definition you want to use as your key when you look at the cartoon. When you look at the cartoon, you want to look at sucker as one who's easily being deceived. You will look at rabbit as a rabbit punch. Naked. Khalid Muhammad told us what naked was. Naked can mean have no clothes on. But naked also means your true intentions are being exposed. In this cartoon, Black Sambo's true intentions are being exposed. They got him naked. They show him naked, but that's not what it means. It means your true intentions are being exposed. Also the cartoon, you're going to see a fig leaf. A fig is a fruit. And because it has numerous seeds, it's symbolic of reproduction. That's the definition in the Bible. You won't get the definition. The inner circle got the definition. To most people on the outer circle, they just look at fig leaf. It's a literal fig leaf. No, it's symbolic of reproduction. It's also symbolic of reproduction in this cartoon. In a lot of Warner Brothers cartoons, you will see the number 8. You will see the number 8. These cartoons, they come out of what they call the Censor 11. Censor 11. There were 11 cartoons that were censored, and they couldn't put it out there because, well, they might have put it out there, but they probably had taken it off the screen because it was defaming African people. Most of these cartoons, and you can also go on YouTube and type in Censored 11 HD. You want to get a clear copy. Censored 11 You can see all 11 cartoons that were censored, defaming African people. And I haven't decoded all of them, but I've decoded a few of them. Most of them, you'll see the number 8. For us, 8 is a spiritual number. It has 2 circles, one for involution and evolution. But you, I don't want those who control things, put it that way. I don't want to get into no name calling. They use it negatively. The 8 ball in pool is a black ball. 8 means disadvantage. I don't think it's an accident that Obama was the 44th president. 4 and 4 is 8. Behind the 8 ball means one is placed in a difficult situation, that which one is likely to escape. If a person is behind the 8 ball, they may be in an uncomfortable position. So you can see the 8 in the cartoon. You're also going to see, I'm going to wrap this thing up now. You can see a log. A log is a fallen tree. But in the cartoon, the log is a hollow log. A log also is something you keep information in, like a log note, a notepad, a log book, right? So we get a hollow log. A hollow log, that means one is void of knowledge, one is void of information. So they're saying the symbol is void of knowledge, void of information. Also in that cartoon, you see a tree stump. It means one is cut off in its group. One is cut off in his development. So Sambo, who has the speech and mannerism of Stephen Fletcher, that's how he talked in the cartoon. Sambo, he has the speech and mannerism of Stephen Fletcher, is trying to catch a rabbit for his rabbit stew. On the contrary, it is Sambo who is being hunted, otherwise rabbit punch. There are serious incidents where Bugs is tricking Sambo. And one particular is when Bugs lures Sambo into a hollow log. The log is sitting on the edge of a cliff. Sambo runs through the log and runs off the cliff. And you see a sign that says, "Sucker!" And after falling off the cliff, Sambo is bandaged from head to toe and fed with Bugs. He goes to Bugs with a shotgun. Bugs says, "Wait a minute." And he shakes a pair of dice. They say, "Well, all we do is shoot crap, right?" And they shoot dice, and Bugs wins and lose everything. Sambo loses everything. But I don't want to go any further, because it's hard for you to really understand what I'm talking to unless you get the cartoon itself. So go online, look up All This and Rabbit Stew, and you may be able to come up with some things in the cartoon that I didn't see. With that said, I'm going to end this part of the program and go turn and control the meeting back over to Marvin.
All right. Thank you, brother. Kevin Lynn. Lots and lots and lots of knowledge, lots and lots of things to think about. And that's what African-American empowerment is all about. It's about education. That's the E for education. And knowledge is power. Thank you, brother Kevin Lynn. Let's go to Slido, and then we'll go to the lines. Man, there's so much to go through, but I'll just start from the beginning. Can we have differences in religious values, beliefs, and systems and still be successful in this country? Can we have differences in religious values, beliefs, and systems and still be successful in this country? What do you think, Brother Kevin?
I think so, because your religion is your it's personal. It's personal. And what happens is, I remember a long time his brother was saying that somebody asked the question, why y'all got these religious walls? Why the Muslims and Jews can't get along over there, right? And brother said something profound. He said, when we come to the table, religion is never on the table. He said, religion is never on the table. It's a Gaza Strip. It's always got to do with some land or resources from the land. Religion is never on the table. So they do negotiate. Religion has never came in the way of them having negotiations. It's never come in the way of the United States having a relationship with Saudi Arabia. You know what I mean? It hasn't come in. You got Russia, right, helping the United States win the Civil War. So religion has never been a stumbling block. We think religion is they argue over resources from the land. That's what they're arguing over. Even with the Crusades,
wow.
Right, all it had to do was taking resources from the land. So religion is never even on the table. You go down, you was had those meetings in Israel and with the Muslims and the Jews, right, is always lying is on tape. So we think we argue with religion. No, we're not arguing with religion. We're using our religion to get resources from the land. That's why I mentioned that story earlier about Bruce Bridges, or Bruce having a farm, and somebody come along and use that Bible to take the land. It all got to do with the resources from the land.
All right, got two more, and then I'm going to the lines, and we try to get as many callers as we in before the show ends. All right, how does a novice begin to learn to read the Bible as it is intended to be read?
There are resources out here. There are different books you can go to, and I can list those books for you if you have time. You have time, Marvin?
Yep.
All right, I'll list those books now. Remember, a lot of these books, some of these books are by European authors, right? But they come from African resources. And so when I get a book by a European, I Africanized, if there's such a word, right? When they tell a song, I put African spin on it. So you got to know who you are first, like Malcolm said, know who you are first. So when you read these books, mm-hmm. you can extrapolate, draw from that book that which is African. All right. One book is titled, you can start this book first. Everybody know the Old Testament Wisdom by Manly P. Hall, but that's an old book. That's an old book. Africans and Europeans have gone beyond that book as far as interpreting the Bible, so I wouldn't recommend that one. You can. But this book is called Hidden Wisdom in the Holy Bible by Godfrey Hodgson, G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, Hodgson, H-O-D-S-O-N. So once you find volume one, you know there's a volume two and a volume three. All right. Another book is called The Eastern Mysteries. That's a thick book. That's like a size of one of those big phone books we had. The Eastern Mysteries by David Allen Hoss. David Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Hoss, H-U-L-S-E. It's Eastern Mysteries. He got one called Eastern Mysteries. And you got one called the Western Mysteries. I will start with the Eastern Mysteries first because the stuff that's in the West come out of the East. So I will start Eastern Mysteries first, and then he would go into Western Mystery, right, which probably break down more way the New Testament is written. But the New Testament is the daughter of the Old Testament, so you don't want to do it backwards. You want to go with the oldest ones first. So those are two I recommend right now, and there's another one, but I can't think of it off the hand. Go ahead, Mom. Go to the next one.
Okay. Thank you. All right. What is the purpose of allegory, and why is it important, and why is it used?
Well, you remember in school, right, when somebody told something to allegory, you retain it more. If you went through the whole process of coming with the answer, you retained it more than if I told you 8 times 9. And you memorize, and you 8 times 9, you know, or I give you. That's why in school they would give you Farmer Brown. Some people in school could not do a word problem. If the teacher said Farmer Brown had 9 cows and 9 died and so on and so on, so yeah, you're difficult with that. But if you went through the whole process, right, you're highly enriched as a result thereof by going through that process. So it was understood that information was retained longer if it was through allegory, then they just give you the answer.
Mm.
Just like, for example, somebody said, how can I be born again? So a person took that literally, right? You could push me back in my mama's womb. I'm 200 pounds now. You could push me back in my mama's womb, right? Well, those who had the knowledge, right, if somebody came to them like that with that information, right, they wouldn't give them no more information because that person had to grow. But someone like a Kevlar said, look, that don't make no sense. There has to be a deeper understanding there. So then the teacher would see, this is a young man who's curious. This is a young man that wants to know. And so because I want to know more, more is given to me. But if you want to read literally, you say, the Bible said, Joshua stopped the sun, and you don't want to move from that position, right, nobody could give you no more wisdom. They just let you stay in that position. Next one.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right. The development of moral fiber, you mentioned this in your lecture, the development of moral fiber and the laws of Mayotte. Please expand upon it.
All right, Mayotte, I should expand on it because a lot of people, if you're not haven't been studying African spiritual teachers, you don't know Maya. Maya is like the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments come from Maya. The Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's a literal understanding, right? The Bible, it doesn't go into explaining why. Like your parents said, don't go into the cookie jar, don't touch the stove, right? And then they said, because I told you that. You know what I mean? And for a child, that's not enough, you know, because I said so. You want to know more. So my ideas was, is the consequences thereof. How you know which is wrong, which is right? The consequences thereof. What's the consequence of you committing adultery? What's the consequence of you committing adultery? Well, now you must live in fear. I mean, now you must live amongst distrust. Where you going? Who you going out with? And I see time wrapping up, Mark, so I'm going to go ahead and let you have it because I see time is dwelling.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, we're close to the end now. Thank you, brother. Great job today. If you have questions or comments, right, we're going to bring Brother Kevin Lynn back, and maybe we can pick up on that if you keep your questions. Again, you can always go out to Slido until Sunday and put your questions in that you have, and then we can pick it up from there. Slido.com, the number is 327. Uh-huh.
And you can send me the question in the email, too, and I'll answer it then.
Okay, give them your email address as well, brother.
Brother, Brother, Alkebalon, A like an apple, L like a Larry, K like a kangaroo, E like an eagle, B like a boy, U like an umbrella, L like a Larry, A like an apple, N like a Nancy, at rocketmail.com. Or Marvin, you can send a question to me and I respond to you. So either way.
Absolutely. And again, thank you, Brother Alkebalon. This is making clear what it is that we must understand. Now, again, it may rattle you a little bit, but do your research. You notice one thing he did. He laid down his references, right? And then he told you some resources and some sources that you can go and check from yourself. The key here is it's in books, and many of us do not want to read. Let's read to expand our knowledge. Let's read to increase our knowledge base. And the things that we learn, then we can use those as tools, not to turn people down, but to make clear what is obvious. Brother Kibbelin, thank you so much for sharing. Again, I'll get final comments from you and thoughts on what you provided for us today. Then we'll wrap it up for today. Thank you, brother.
Oh, I don't have any final thoughts except for somebody wrote an article about is Malcolm X another Jesus Christ. So you might want to see what they meant by that, right? Because Malcolm rose from the dead, if you understand how the Bible is written.
All right. Thank you, brother. And we're celebrating the birth date of Brother Malcolm, right, which, of course, was assassinated, but his words and his power for our liberation continues to move forward through many of us. Also, briefly, all this and rabbit stew, go look it up and see what it is that you find for yourself, and maybe you can continue that dialogue as well. I'll now reach in to Brother George for final comments from him. Brother George, any thoughts before we wrap up for today?
Yes, sir. Great show. I mean, Brother Kevin, once again, you know, you strike any gold, you know, when you listen to an intelligent brother like you. So I appreciate it once again, and back to you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Brother at Kebulan. And again, it's African American Empowerment. We're working on the five pillars of empowerment. Today is education, right? Go out and do the research for yourself. Again, knowledge is power. We have to understand that if we are taking ourselves out of ignorance and into knowledge, we can't lose. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for the descendants of enslaved Africans. And that is what we're going to continue to do. Knowledge is power. Continue to educate yourself and continue to reach for that star, that bright star that will allow you to become the best person that you can be today and every day. Until next week, become the best person that you can be by doing the work of working on yourself. Peace and blessing, brothers and sisters. We love you all. Stay black. Peace. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.